We're looking in Psalm 73, and this is the, as we read last week, the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Now, that doesn't mean that in the book of the Psalms, there's not other Psalms that are written by David, because there are. We know that these things are not set forth in a chronological fashion. But this particular Psalm that we're looking at here is a Psalm of Asaph, and as you study the name Asaph in the Scriptures, there's several times Asaph is mentioned. I'm not sure that they're all, every time Asaph is mentioned, that it's speaking of the same Asaph. It could be, but he's known in some places in the Scripture as the recorder, that is, as a scribe. He was one that wrote down the things that were said in the king, like a court reporter, I suppose. He's also called a seer, which is a prophet. He's a singer. He was one of the singing men. He was one of those who whose primary purpose was to sing. And some of the psalms that David wrote are given to Asaph. It says so in the title. It says this is a psalm given unto Asaph. So Asaph was one who was used of the Lord, and no doubt. And so he's given him this psalm here. Now, I do notice that in the Psalms of Asaph, there is a difference in the things that the Lord impresses upon the heart of Asaph that are a little bit different than those of David. I think most of the Psalms of David, if not all of them, are the prayers of Christ. And set forth, we can see most clearly the glory of Christ set forth in all of the Psalms of David. And not that we cannot see some of those things in the Psalms of Asaph, but Asaph, I believe these psalms are more geared to the as the experience that Asaph would set forth in his own mind as he surveyed things, as he looked at these things. And so we read this. We'll read the psalm, and then we'll go back and look at it. A psalm of Asaph, and this is Psalm 73. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart, or a pure heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. And therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know, and is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one waketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they are far from thee, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Now, Asaph begins with a very plain and straightforward and full of truth statement when he says, truly, God is good to Israel. Surely the Lord is good to the people of his choice. He's good to Israel. Now, the natural man, and of course Israel as a people, they consider that the Lord has respect unto carnal bloodlines. But that's not what it means here when Asaph says, truly God is good to Israel. Now, his understanding of Israel was indeed those that were of a certain bloodline, that those that were of a certain nationality, if you want to speak. Now, we understand, as the Scripture has, as the Lord has delivered to us, more understanding of the Scripture and talks about that mystery which was hid from the foundation of the world, that the Lord would gather in one all people, that is, those people that belong to Him, so that there is not Jew and Gentile, but he is a Jew, not which is one which is circumcised in the flesh, but he that's circumcised in the heart. And so Israel are indeed the people of God, but it's not a nationality. It's not a people who dwell in a certain land. And when we pray for Israel, we're not praying for a governmental authority or a governmental region. We're praying for the people of God. And we are to pray for Israel, even as the Lord Jesus did when he said, I pray not for the world, but I pray for them whom thou hast given me out of the world. So surely God is indeed good to Israel. And that's his prerogative. Now, some people take exception with God if you get speaking about God as being having more, giving more goodness to one people versus another. And they say, well, that doesn't seem quite right. I mean, God, you know, if he's going to be God like I know God to be, then he ought to be the same to all people. He's got to give everybody a chance and give everybody love and all of that. But that's to fail to understand who God is. Because the reality, and it's to fail to understand what man is by nature. Because why should God be good to anybody? I mean, why should God show love to anybody? Why should God have favor to anyone? Why should mercy be visited upon anybody? And usually, you see, when people get worrying about God not showing mercy to everybody, it's because they don't understand that he has no obligation to show mercy to anybody. And that he would show mercy to rebellious creatures as we are is an amazing thing. It is the grace of God. And that's what we've been sent into the world to declare. Truly, God is good to Israel. He causes all things to work together for good to them who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. That's a particular people. He doesn't just cause all things to work together for good to everybody. And that's not what Paul says. He says he causes all things to work together for good to a particular people, to those who love God, those who are the called according to his purpose. See, those are one and the same people. A man can't truly love God unless he has been called unto it. Now, a lot of people say, oh, well, I love God. But what they mean is they love the God that they, how they think of God to be. They don't necessarily love God. I mean, because you get to tell them, what the Bible says how God is. And they say, oh, well, wait a minute. I can't serve a God like that. You ever had anybody tell you that? I wouldn't serve a God like that. Well, no, but you wouldn't serve God, because God will be God and he will do according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand. And we love him because he first loved us. Man can't just love God. It's by the grace of God that a man is brought to that place. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Now that kind of rules out a bunch of folks, doesn't it? I mean, if you took that just literally, if you come along, see, now a lot of people look at that and they say, well, man, I'm in. I read that and I say, oh, woe is me. You know, when the Lord says that when Asaph says that the Lord is good even to such as are of a clean heart, is he talking about that's just the way they are? Of a clean heart? The scripture says, who shall dwell in the presence of the Lord? It says, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Now that's a troubling thing to a man that knows himself to be a sinner, is it not? I mean, if you think that on the basis of your clean hands and your pure heart that you're coming into the presence of God, you don't understand who you are or what you are by nature. So the purity of heart is in some ways we might say it is a relative thing, and then in another way we would say that this is speaking of a pure heart that has been imputed to us. We have a clean heart. But it's not because of what we've done, but it's because of what Christ has done in our behalf. Now there is the sense in which it is true that the Lord has cleansed the hearts of his people, and so they can be said to have a clean heart before him. Not because of their own activity, but because of his. And when he looks on his people, he looks on them as those of a clean heart. Why? Because he's taken their sins away as far as the east is from the west, and he remembers them no more. Now that's a difficult thing for a man to come to grips with. Now, if a man doesn't have a problem coming to grips with that, then he doesn't understand the depths of the wickedness of his own heart. But when a man knows in himself to be wicked, it is an amazing thing to him to consider that he is considered before Almighty God as one who has never sinned. Isn't that what Paul said? Reckon yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. I mean, that's a hard thing, brethren, for a man to come to grips with. You see, you can't believe that. Only by the grace of God can a man believe. When once he's been taught what a sinner he is, it's only by the grace of God that he can then come to the place where he realizes and rejoices in the fact that he has been made clean before Almighty God. You see, that's why we preach the gospel. It's to lift up the hands that hang down, to strengthen the weak knees, those that feel themselves to be fully gone, those that look upon themselves and say, man, there's no hope for me. But there is hope in Christ, because he has cleansed his people. And so indeed, he is good to such as are of a clean heart, as we understand how it is that a man's heart becomes clean before Almighty God. But then he says, but as for me, because you see, he knows the standard which the Lord has. Now, as Brother Al was bringing out this morning, see, what happens in society and in the ways of men, they get to thinking that they have the right to define what's good and what's right. And that's why it is that all our society has slipped so far, and things that were considered to be just a few short years ago, completely out of the realm of acceptability, have now come into the mainstream. And a man is looked on as being some kind of a bigot or a weirdo or something's wrong with him if he stands up and says, this is not according to the way of God. Because men can say, oh, but. See, it's all about love. I mean, if we love one another and you love somebody and all this, it makes it all right. No, it doesn't make it all right before Almighty God. Regardless of what men do, nothing becomes right in the sight of God by the decision of men to say it's okay. That's not, you know, it's not what I say is okay. It's not what you say is okay. It's what God says. And that's the only place that we have to stand, dear brethren. If we're going to design the world, where would the world be at the present time if God removed his restraint and it was all left up to men to just go their own way? I mean, if God just stepped back from the picture and said, well, here, y'all have it. I mean, we wouldn't even be here because everybody'd already killed each other, number one. But society would cease to exist. And that's fast what's happening in the world in which we live, as the standards of society have been degraded to the point that in a few years, I can't even imagine if we keep going on the same pace, what it'll be. I mean, what will be the limits? Where will be the bounds? What will be acceptable and not? It won't make any difference. Just whatever. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, he said, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. He said, you know, I know that God is good, but I got to thinking in my mind. That's a dangerous thing, isn't it? Huh? I mean, when you leave off, you know, you're saying over here, God is good and he does good to Israel. But then he said, but then, I know that to be true. But he says, I got to thinking. And he said, my steps, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped because I was envious at the foolish. He says, I got to thinking. You know, that doesn't seem quite right for the wicked to prosper. Now, see, the prosperity preachers, that's what they tell you, that it's not right and that's not the way that it is. That if you're really a child of God and following in the right way, you're going to prosper. And you're going to have plenty of money. And you're never going to be sick. And all these things is just going... The blessings of God is just like sitting up here in a big pot. Just waiting for you to act right. And it's just going to be poured out on you. That's not the way that it is. And it is true that there is a lot of prosperity and happiness as far as the flesh is concerned in this world. See, I've shared this with you before. I remember listening to this guy one time. He was talking about he grew up in a... His parents, they were real religiously oriented, and they went to church Sunday and every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I mean, they was always gone. And he said he remembered going to church and riding by this bar room. And there would always be music playing and people, you know, you could look in there and see people dancing around having a big time. And he said his mama would always say, yeah, he says, those folks is miserable. And he says, a little kid, he always thought, well, they don't look miserable to me. And they're not miserable. Look, the people of this world are not miserable. They're having a big time. They're enjoying it. I mean, you go to Hollyweird, I mean, those people are happy. I mean, they got plenty of money. They can do all kind of stuff, you know, fly all over the world, and then they can lecture us on the carbon that we're putting into the world and all that kind of stuff. I mean, they're happy. And it is sometimes when we get to thinking. We say, well, that don't seem right. And that's what Asaph's saying. As for me, my feet were well almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. I almost had dropped over into questioning God as to why these things were so. When I was envious at the foolish, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death. That is, there's no pangs. There's no pain. They're not worried about dying. By and large. Now, you know, the Lord, and this is a blessing. Ever since I have been a little kid, I've been afraid of dying. I can remember just waking up in the middle of the night worrying about dying. I thought maybe sometimes I dreamed that I had died and I'd gone and I was standing before the Lord. And I can remember waking up sometimes and being scared and getting out of bed and going to look to see, you know, if everything was still like it was. The wicked are not so. Death's nothing to them. I used to think that the older a man got, the more he thought and worried about death. Not so. The older that a man goes, if his heart, if he has no concern for the things of God, he's no more concerned about dying than he was 25 years ago. He just figures, well, he's just going down life. He figures, I guess, in the back of his mind somehow that he'll just keep on going. There are no bands in the death of the wicked. But you see, God's people consider it. You remember that song we sing sometimes? Sometimes I am afraid to die. Now, why are we sometimes afraid to die? Because we know that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. See, we do sometimes fear death because we know that God is a righteous God and that He judgeth righteously. And we tremble in fear. There's no fear of God before their eyes. They are not in trouble as other men. Neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Now we're going to have to stop there because we've run out of time. But this is, as Asaph begins this psalm, he is understanding the way of God, but yet as a natural man, as we are, he sometimes forgets where his mind ought to be. And brethren, you and I can get to a place where we are envious at the wicked. And you know, when a man's envious at the wicked, he really is angry at God. Is he not? Because how do the wicked continue on in their way? How are they prospered? How do they have the things they have? According to the will and purpose of God. And so it is. And so in all things, we bow down before Him, give Him thanks. Because you see, as we'll read on about Asaph, he said, you know, but I came to see. He said, and that's the glorious thing. It's not where a man begins, but it's where he winds up that measures as to whether or not he is a child of God. Now, if you looked at the thief who was on the cross, or one of the thieves that was on the cross, and you'd seen him as a youth, and you'd have seen him as a man growing up and committing the crimes that he did, you would have never had any consideration that he was one of the children of God. But you see, in the Lord's time, according to His mercy, He demonstrated that He was His, that He loved Him from before the foundation of the world, but He brought Him by a way which He knew not. And He brought Him down that path to bring Him to a better place. And so it is. So we need not be envious at the prosperity of the wicked, knowing that the Lord has ordained all things. And some of those who are prosperous in their wickedness, because that thief, he was prosperous in his wickedness at one point in time. I mean, it might not have lasted long, but whatever he stole, I mean, right after he stole it, he was probably had a big time, you know, didn't he? We don't need to, because you see, all these things are in the hands of the Lord to do as He wills. But He does bring His people to a place to acknowledge Him and give Him glory. And that's the place Asaph is going to be brought to by the mercy of God.